What we have as psalms began as congregational hymns, sung together by the communities gathered in worship. And there are hymns of lament and hymns of praise. And a few years ago, I was thinking, how do we make this accessible to people who can't yet read or won't ever be able to read? And I was thinking, well, we can learn a lot from camp because they do repeat after me song. So rather than focusing on the words on the page, you're focusing on listening to what's happening and then repeating it. And that's why we had our children today stay for our song. It's a different way of hearing our scriptures when we're participating in it in a way that we don't expect. And I think the first time that I did a repeat after me psalm was when I was doing pulpit supply at Prestine Woodbine. And it worked really well. It might have even been the same psalm, although this is a later version of it. I think there was less clapping that time. Your clapping was good. We'll keep working on it. Sometimes it's a challenge trying something new, isn't it? We talk about the idea of newness as something we like in technology or in society. We talk about that as something that we like, but the experience of it is a little bit more challenging. It pushes us a little bit more. And so often, particularly in places like churches, we aren't really looking for newness. We're looking for something else. We're looking for something to be in the words that we heard in our reading from Acts, for something to be restored. In that reading that we heard from the book of Acts, we have to remember this happens before the whole gospel story. The birth and life of Jesus, the crucifixion, the stories of resurrection. And Jesus is there with the community in this new thing, preparing to leave. And the disciples ask, okay, before you leave, just, you know, one more thing. Right, this is the time, isn't it, that you're going to restore to us the kingdom of Israel. This is the time that we're going to go back to the golden age of what was. This is the time that we're going to go back to the congregations that had 100 kids in Sunday school so you had to build an extra building for them so they'd fit in. And it was so packed that you had an extra service and you were on the radio so people who couldn't even make it into the church could still hear you. Won't you restore to us that golden age? That age we once knew where everyone was the same. Or at least, you know, they hid that they weren't the same so they could fit in. Won't you go back to that golden age where we had the nuclear household? The 50s, right? That's the golden age of the church, I hear. When everyone came every Sunday. Not because they wanted to, but because they had to. Because otherwise, what would the neighbors say? What kind of a church is that? Where everyone came to Sunday school not because they wanted to, but because they had to, because what would the neighbors say? What kind of a church was that? Won't you restore to us the kingdom of Israel, or won't you restore to us Canada 100 years ago? Or 50 years ago, or pick your favorite time that's your golden age. Isn't it nice singing those old hymns that remind us of the way things used to be when everyone was here, when we knew what Canada was, when we knew that the world was going to be okay, as if that was ever the case? That desire to be restored, go back to something that never actually existed, but we want to have existed, is such a common impulse. And it's one that has a lot of voice and attention in our churches and in our nations right now. And why is that? Well, because new things are hard, is one of the answers, and the other one is because for all of us who think of that as a golden age, that's when we had power. That's when we knew who we were. That's when we knew we belonged. And you don't see as many people wishing for those golden ages who don't fit certain categories associated with race, with economics, with religious belief and practice. Because any golden age, whether it was the kingdom of Israel, which did not last all that long before they were fighting with each other and divided into two different kingdoms, or whether it was America or Canada or the church in the 50s, it wasn't a perfect time. And we have that nostalgia for the past, for what we knew. And it's not that nostalgia and memory is always wrong, but it can hold us back. Because if we're trying to become something that we weren't, that we once were, we're not leaving the space for becoming what we can become now. And if we're remembering what once was, we're not looking at the good and the new life that is happening right now and will be happening and is happening. Because in the golden age of the church, we didn't have affirming congregations. And now we have an affirming congregation right here, and we have Toronto Conference deciding to be an affirming ministry as well. And in the golden age of America, you had segregation. And there's a lot of work still to be done, but we don't want to be going back 60 years about that. We have dreams of restoration. And I was wondering, as I was working on this, how much of our television about restoring old houses and other nostalgic notions of recreating the past are tied into that, into creating a perfect picture of what was so that we can escape from the difficulties of becoming something new and hopefully something better. On a Sunday like this, as we celebrate baptism and as we hear signs of life around us, we could say, wouldn't it be nice to go back to the golden age where all the kids went downstairs immediately and we didn't have to hear them? Or we could say, isn't this amazing that we have children here with us, sharing their joy with us right now, and before the service and after the service, and something new is going to happen. And we don't know what that is, but we can figure it out together. That's what this Sunday is all about in so many ways. In baptism, we remember a sign of new life, new beginnings, new hope. And today in particular, we mark the start of Stella's new life in this family, and think of the years that she has ahead, of what she'll learn and experience, and the good that she will bring to the world when people listen to her voice, listen to her perspective, listen to her strengths and weaknesses. And that promise of baptism is one that each of us carries. The promise that this new life is good and sacred, and that by listening and paying attention and being willing to laugh and to shout a little and clap our hands, whether or not it's at the right time, something new will be created. And it's also what we're celebrating in our Celebration Sunday, as we recognize the gifts that each of us here brings, which were not going to be the same gifts that would have happened 50 years ago. There'll be different gifts because we are different people, not the same people we were then, not the same community we were then, but who we are right now. And that is a wonderful and noisy and messy and marvelous thing that we're experiencing in this service and that we'll be experiencing after this service as we celebrate together downstairs and see the different things that are happening right now, not what was happening at some point, but what is happening and what can happen together with these new beginnings. Now, I'm not saying that we should just forget the past. I'm not saying we should let go of the memories that we treasure. I'm just saying we have to not let those memories hold us back from what we can become. And that is what Jesus said. They said, "Restore to us the kingdom of Israel." And he said, "It's not for you to know when that's going to happen." He doesn't even say it's going to happen. He says, "It's not for you to know. What you are to do is to be witnesses. To make your life a sign of love and a sign of new beginnings and a sign of hope. And then to see what is happening in the world, to witness to it, to respond to it, to work towards a new, improved, golden age, rather than to long for something that is no longer here." He could have stayed in the story. He could have just stayed with them, but he didn't. They were called to something new, to a new way of being followers of Jesus, creating a new vision of what a life of faith is like. And that's the same moment that each of us has, looking for that new path that we will walk, that we will travel together as a wonderful, complicated, beautiful, sometimes fragmented, and yet working towards unity as that kind of community. And so, for that promise of what can happen, what can become, I rejoice. I give thanks that I'm here with you to see what that looks like together. Thanks be to God. Amen.